News Talk Breakfast.
In association with AIR. Do anything, anywhere with high-speed 4G mobile data coverage across 96% of the population.
This is News Talk.
Here on News Talk Breakfast for the past several weeks, we've been investigating and highlighting violence, the whole issue of violence against women here in Ireland. Now, our next guest got in touch with the show after listening to other victims speak out, and she wanted to share her story with you. Joining me today is Maria. Maria is not her real name, who had a very different experience while on holiday in Spain. Maria, first of all, thanks very, very much for coming in to talk to us. We really appreciate it because people like you, only people like you, can help other victims. Can you tell us or give us a description of what happened to you while you were on holiday in Spain?
Sure, yeah. Thanks for having me on, Paul. I was walking on the Camino de Santiago, so it's a kind of a long pilgrimage walk, and the hotel that I was booked to stay in that night offered a massage service, which was a very welcome offering after a 26K. So when I arrived at the hotel, the guy who owns the hotel was the person who offered the massage, and he suggested his English wasn't great, but he was able to ask, did I want a massage? I was very happy to take up on that offer, and we arranged a time to do so. However, it was quickly apparent when I went to the massage table was set up in another, essentially a different bedroom in the hotel. But I felt uncomfortable initially when I went in for the massage. He initially didn't leave the room as I was taking my clothes off for the massage, so I didn't feel comfortable to take my clothes off, and it just was quite an uncomfortable energy. But as we went on with the massage, he became increasingly inappropriate in how he was touching me, and ultimately was very inappropriate in how he touched
me.
So
what he did, as far as you're concerned, was he sexually assaulted you. It wasn't rape, is that correct?
That's right, yeah. It wasn't rape, and he did stop when I told him that was not okay, ultimately, when he was very inappropriate.
How long did this go on for? How long did you have to endure this?
It's hard
assault?
For me to say exactly, Paul. I mean, I was kind of, I was quite shocked and frozen in it. And I did, you know, there was part of me thinking, is this how they do things in Spain? Are things done differently here?
Now, just for clarity, you stayed in this hotel before. You'd known this hotelier.
Yeah.
He was aged in his 50s as well.
Understand. He was a guy in his 50s, I'd say. This was actually my fourth time staying in this small little family-run hotel. And in fact, we'd had really good experiences here before. A previous time I'd walked the Camino, I'd been walking with my father, who was in his 80s at the time. And he'd left something behind in the room. He'd left a baseball cap behind him. And the owner of the hotel, this same guy who subsequently assaulted me, he actually drove 10 kilometres to drop this baseball cap back to my dad. So,
You were probably made to feel possibly comfortable with him.
Yeah.
And then you said that you saw that he was advertising that he was a masseuse as well, or a physio or whatever. He stops. He leaves the room, I presume.
No, I left the room.
You left the room.
Yeah.
So you how did you feel after that, Maria?
Yeah, I left the room and returned to my room, which was just across the way. Now, he was quite kind of apologetic, I think, as when I left and was saying, oh, I'm sorry, you don't like what I do. And I just wanted to get away. And he subsequently followed me over to the room and was knocking on the door. I didn't answer. That went on for quite a while. I was really quite shocked and a little frightened. I rang my husband, who talked sense and said, yeah, just pack and get get straight out of there, stayed on the phone as I left because the guy was still outside the door banging on the door as I left. And as I left, he started to say, you know, is there a problem with the room? You don't like the room? Is it dirty? And I just kept, I told him to get away from me. And then he followed me out onto the street, which was a busy street, and continued to kind of harangue me about why was I leaving. So at this point, I feel very fortunate that I was able to turn to him and yell at him to get away from me, or I'd call the police. And he kind of made a joke out of that. Subsequently, his mother followed out and was trying to calm the situation and say that he was trying to help me. I was very clear with them that this was not appropriate, what had happened, and I left at that point. But in some ways, it was quite empowering to be able to stand and turn to him and tell him what he had done was wrong.
You never experienced anything like this before, I presume?
No, thankfully, I never did.
Okay,
no.
So you leave, you find another hotel.
Mm-hmm.
What's going through your head then? What happened to you over the next few days?
Yeah, I mean, I was walking on the Camino on my own on this occasion. I've walked the Camino a lot and I've walked on my own before. I was quite comfortable to do so. But after this, I didn't want to walk on my own. I was a bit apprehensive that this guy might even follow me. So in the next place I went, I overheard some women speaking in English. I asked, could I join them the next day so that I wasn't walking on my own? And I finished out the rest of the Camino walking with other people, just because I no longer felt okay to be on my own. I guess I was, after the event, it was quite shocking, and I knew that I was feeling in some way responsible for it, and I also knew that I wasn't, that this was something that he had done to me.
Even though you've heard that line a million times, I'm sure, as well as a woman, that women tend to blame themselves when they're raped or abused. So you knew that
exactly.
Was an illogical thought.
I knew it was an illogical thought, and I really worked hard to challenge it in myself, but it was there. I definitely did have that sense of...
So you decided to go to the police.
...being stupid or something. I thought about going to the police at that stage, but I really wasn't expecting that there was a whole lot of point to go to the police, to be honest with you. I knew it was only ever going to be my word against his.
The language barrier.
The language barrier.
The nationality barrier, perhaps.
All of this, yeah. So I did think about going, but I didn't really want to go through all this with the police. It was another challenge. So I didn't go to the police immediately. Also, I didn't know where the police were. This was a fairly rural part of Spain that I was in. I didn't know where the police were. So I continued on my walk. I was at that stage, I was about 3 days walking distance from where I was going to in Santiago. And when I arrived to Santiago, I did decide to go to the police purely because I thought if it had happened to me, he may do it to other women, and that I expected.
But it was just that question, yeah. Just to cut in there, just for clarity. Did you have a feeling, was there anything in your instincts, or was there anything in what you experienced to suggest that maybe this guy had done this before?
No, I really didn't. And maybe that was a little bit coloured by having had such pleasant experience of him in the past when he was so helpful. I really didn't have that. Now, subsequently, I have looked on, there's a lot of kind of forums, Camino forums around. And I went looking and I saw that another person had posted about 2 weeks before this happened to me. And she said that he had offered her a massage and she felt uncomfortable, that she had a sense that something was right and didn't go ahead with it.
So When you went into the police, how did they treat you?
Yeah, I was...
This is, by the way, the local police here, local police?
I initially went to the local police in Santiago, and they actually said, because it had happened in a place 3 days away, I needed to go to the Guardia Civil. So I did go to the Guardia Civil, which was initially a bit daunting. Again, the language barrier, and it's quite a... It didn't look like a police station as we'd understand. It was a bit more like an army barracks. But when they brought me in and arranged for me to meet a detective, and it was an incredibly supportive experience as much as they could do so. They got an interpreter, an English interpreter in. I was with them that day for... It was in the region of 5 hours that they spent with me that day taking statements. They did bring me to hospital to have a forensic examination. So it was a difficult day. It was a lot more than I was expecting, because I really hadn't anticipated. I was kind of anticipating that this would be given same kind of gravitas
so you
as
thought
a stone
you were just,
handbag or
you
something.
You thought they would just tick the boxes?
Pretty much. Really, that was my expectation. And instead, they really responded incredibly well. When they brought me, the detective dropped me back into the town centre in Santiago afterwards. And I was having dinner in a restaurant about an hour or two later when he arrived in to say that I needed to remain in Santiago the next day, that he had spoken to the judge and that I needed to meet with the judge the next day. Again, there was a bit of a language barrier, so I wasn't fully sure what was happening. I, at that stage, expected that maybe the judge was just going to get a bit more information for some reason. But next, he told me that he would be going out to the town where this happened to stop the man from doing any massages, and then he'd be coming, picking me up to bring me to the judge.
And this all happened, you went in to say in the morning time or whatever, and they kept you for 5 hours to interview you. Then they said, listen, we're going to the judge, we want to meet the judge tomorrow. And they had him picked up in the meantime as
well. I was in court, and he was sentenced within 24 hours of me reporting it to the Guardia Civil.
So he's brought before the court. Did he want to plead guilty or not guilty? What's the this is an inquisitorial system as opposed to an adversarial system, which is our system.
Yeah. The setup seemed to be, very good in that they kept me and him separate. We were in separate rooms throughout. There was some kind of camera system in the courtroom that I was in, so I presume he could see what was happening in that courtroom. But our paths didn't cross again at all. I do have the outcome of the court case here, but it's in Spanish. So the interpreter explained to me that he has been put on probation. And he was given a barring order from being within 100 metres of me. And he was instructed that he or anybody on his behalf is not allowed to make any kind
of
contact.
So he's very much on the radar now.
He's on the radar.
On the police radar.
Yeah.
So that was an incredible, because of our system here, it wouldn't happen that way. You'd have an investigative process and it could take weeks and months before a file is sent to the DPP and the DPP decides. That was incredibly efficient.
Incredibly efficient.
So you were very impressed with that, obviously.
I was hugely impressed, and I think it was a really powerful part for me in terms of the support that I got following that experience and the experience of justice coming into effect and knowing that. My intent in reporting it really was more about trying to minimise the risk of this happening to other women, and knowing that they responded so quickly and took it so seriously.
And was there also an element of that, listen, I'm not letting this, I'm going to make some kind of sort of Pyrrhic gesture here to say that I'm prepared to stand up, and you didn't expect this outcome?
Yeah, I guess there probably was some of that in it. But my my main piece was really about this should not happen. And yeah, it's important that he knows that, but it's more important that this doesn't happen again. In some ways, because I had managed to yell at him on the street afterwards, which I think is an unusual opportunity for a victim to be able to have that kind of face-to-face standoff with somebody in a safe situation. In some ways, I think my need had been met in that, but the other piece about ensuring that other women were safe, that's where the court case, it was just brilliant.
So there was no lingering at all. If that happened to somebody in Ireland, because of our system, the person would have inevitably have had the gun home and be flown back again on two or three occasions for the arrest. So it was very, very efficient. Can I ask you, though, finally, Maria, why did you decide to come forward and tell us your story?
I guess because it was such an, for me, it was such an unexpectedly efficient and effective response. My expectation in this country would be, just as you say, that this process would be dragged out over weeks and months, and the stress involved in that for any victim is just enormous, and the self-doubt in that. Whereas my experience in Spain was totally different. It was literally done and dusted in 24 hours. And if that can happen in Spain, I'm wondering why it can't happen here, really. And is there something that we can look at in our justice system?
So you had a very traumatic experience, but the speed with which it was dealt with brought you closure, I suppose, psychologically.
Exactly. And I think there's this principle that justice delayed is justice denied. In my experience, there was no delay in this, and it really did make a huge difference. If I had this hanging over me still weeks and months after, I'm not sure that I would be going back to Spain to.
Would it be fair to say as well, if you decided to, look, I'm putting this down as a bad experience, nothing's going to be done by this guy, I'm just going to go home, get on with my life, that it would still be there? It would still be there on your shoulders.
I imagine it would be a lot more so, yeah. It certainly was empowering to be able to turn around and tell him in person what had gone wrong, but then it was further empowering when I had the full support of the police and the court to say, yeah, but this wasn't
before we sat down to talk for this interview. You heard the interview we did with Detective Sergeant Laura Sweeney, who's from the Domestic Violence Unit. I can't remember the proper name of the unit now, but it's gone in my head. But you were quite impressed with what she had to say.
I was hugely impressed by what she had to say and the depth of her understanding of the impact of violence against women and her awareness of how it doesn't just damage the person physically, it damages the person emotionally and psychologically, and that to meet a person in that might take many, many efforts. And she spoke about allowing many opportunities to rebuild trust, and I was really impressed by how she does her work, and I hope that is going to be more the experience that women have, and men.
It goes without saying that you are an advocate for any woman who has experienced any kind of inappropriate approaches, assault, obviously rape, attacks, violence of any kind or abuse of any kind, to come forward.
Absolutely, I would be an advocate of that, and I know this series is focusing on women, and of course that is a key issue, but it's not just women. Anybody who has been assaulted, I would advocate coming forward. There is support there. There's more support than we're aware of. It maybe needs to improve, but it is an important part of the healing, because the trauma isn't just about what happens, it's also about what happens afterwards.
Okay, we'll leave it there. Maria, it's been great talking to you. It's brilliant that you're able to come in and talk about it so articulately. I think you will be an inspiration to other women.
Thank you, Paul, and thank you for this series.